you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Tuesday, August 1st, 2017. Happy August, Marianne.
Happy August, Mark.
Are you ready for this new month?
I'm kind of in shock.
Yeah. I know. You know, it didn't seem too long ago. I was saying, you know, we're halfway through the year. Now we're more than halfway through the year, a month removed and some.
Well, did you see Larry Bunting posted this thing on Facebook about so many days till Christmas? It's this snowing picture.
Yeah. So, I didn't read it, but I saw the snow coming down.
I'm like, what in the world?
Yeah, I moved quickly beyond it. I saw snow. But then again, I thought this past Friday, and I want to talk a little about that. We had our Great News Radio Theater troupe together, and I think 50-plus cast members. We had dinner and fix-ins. Thank you, God, for the Giordano's at Marketplace Mall, and they provided the pizzas and the
salads,
and then the cutlery, like the plates
and
forks and napkins. So that's all great savings. And then we all came in here, and I got to the beginning of the reading, like where they're all praying for George and, you know, some of the sound effects and such. And then I had to race out. I said, come on, Mom, we got to go to another thing.
I know. Your mother looked over at me and she was like, what? I said, I think, go.
Yeah, it was.
She just gotten settled into the one thing.
Yeah, it was a high octane weekend. In fact, yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, I think I ended up airing 5 songs, but I just gave a brief little highlight. So I'm hoping before we have you, Lord willing, read from your book, Memories of an African Son, I'll be able to do a couple little shout-outs. And it's easier to do a shout-out with somebody in the studio with me.
Well, it's kind of hard to shout to yourself.
Yeah, and it's just one voice going, and we did this, and then we were part of this, and we did this. And
I'll help you out there.
But you were saying, we were just talking about this a few minutes ago, how well Kate helped orchestrate and bring it all together. And we'll set the stage for everyone, or set the picture for everyone.
Hey, I like that. That's one of those... Whoa.
So here at the Great News Radio Center, we figured 20 inner circle chairs.
We did. We spent quite a bit of time on
that. Yeah, trying to figure it out how to do it and how to have this large, like an egg-shaped circle.
Yeah.
And then we had another 20 or so chairs on the outer circle, if you will.
Right.
And we basically had the top 20 kind of parts cast members in the middle circle.
I noticed both you and I were in the
outer
group.
Yeah, we were the far outer circle. In fact, mine was the cameo. Those that are familiar with Alfred Hitchcock and that whole series, if you ever watched that over the years, when Alfred Hitchcock would make that cameo appearance, it would be maybe for 3 seconds or he'd be in a crowd scene, but everyone would look to see when Alfred Hitchcock would show up. And then I learned they started putting him at the very beginning because so many people waited throughout to see Alfred that they lost sight of what the whole story was about.
Yeah.
And so I heard that they ended up putting him within the first minute or so. So
I didn't know that.
Well, that's what I heard. I don't even know who told me
that. You were looking all that up because you're... You have this one line.
Yeah, so I was told, Kate said, we're going to get you in there with a one-liner.
That's great.
And so I did find out, though, I have 2 lines.
I know. We talked quite a bit about that.
And I'm the bouncer in the bar. So, station manager Mark Burns, Christian radio station, is the bouncer in It's a Wonderful Life.
I love it how much you're making out of this little part that has one little place on the page, but that's okay. And are you going to let me say your name?
Yes. It's classic. I'm glad it wasn't Pinky, though.
It's Binky.
Yeah, it's Binky. I'm Binky. And this is the dark side of when George, you know, is kind of going through that lesson
trauma
with the angel. And he's traumatized. So Binky is not a nice guy.
Right.
And in fact, my 2 lines, you got it. You got it, boss.
That's both the lines, folks.
That's my hope.
You should have been here when he was practicing them.
Yeah, that's...
I've heard your lines so much. I could do your line in my
sleep.
Hey,
I'm off book. The singing man, we always talk about getting off book. I got my lines down pat now.
Well, you know...
You got it.
You know...
You got it, boss.
Us players that only have the 2 lines, like myself...
You have 4 lines, though, right?
Yeah, well, 2 of them are together, but 4 altogether, 4 sentences.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you just got to keep learning them and doing them. Yeah, it's all you got, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So it was exciting, though. And you said when everyone, basically we had 40 or 50 scripts all handed out, and so there were crowd scenes and then the individual people. You were saying Mr. Potter.
Oh, my.
I mean, we have a really unique cast that it seems like God has raised up through many hard efforts of Kate and Marianne and some of us that have worked with everyone for the auditions, and then we recorded them, and then we had to sit down and go through, gosh, this guy would be good at this, and she's sounding really good here, and gosh, four of these people could do this. Who do we want for this aspect of the play? And
I think Kate did a great job casting these voices, and you put in a lot of hours at the sound editor board.
But Kate, too, behind the scenes, like no one realizes the ordering the scripts, the problem solving, the thinking it through, the writing up, the spreadsheet of the 50 cast members and all the names, and anyway, so it's going to be a great presentation we'll have on the radio in December, and we're still working out whether it would be during the morning program or a standalone, like hour and a half narration of the whole It's a Wonderful Life, the radio version, or maybe it'll be early December or mid-December or Christmas week, and maybe even the first part of the new year, we're thinking of different ways to bless you with it as all these cast members representing, I don't even know how many towns, probably 20 or 30 different towns throughout our area.
Yeah.
Some are driving in, you know, 20 or 30 minutes
to get
in here.
These people really wanted to be in this.
Yeah. So, and some are very gifted.
Yes, they are.
Many, I'd say all are very gifted, but some have performing arts background where they're a part of like the Monticello Theater Troupe.
Right.
And then there's just some that are naturals like
me and you.
Yeah, you know.
Let's talk about us.
Do you have your four lines memorized yet?
No, okay. I don't.
You're not like me. You got it.
I know, boss. I know your lines, Mark. I know them so well. Yeah,
you know better than me.
You say them so much.
Well, I didn't get to share them that night because I had to leave early to go to my Alpha course. So I said, Huey, can you handle these two lines?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So he goes, you got it. You got it, boss. I guess you got it.
He's funny.
Yeah,
he's classic. Got such a funny sense of humor.
So, Kate Freeman, thank you for all your hard efforts and pulling this together. And then I think we're going to have five additional upcoming sessions in the months ahead, and then the whole putting it together.
This is something so cool, so special.
And you caught the vision right away. Kate shared it with me, and I thought, yeah, sounds like a good idea. And then I'm thinking, yeah, I think it'd be neat, something special, you know, helping our theater troupe, kind of casting the net, getting a lot more people involved. But as soon as I shared it with you, you were like, this is a slam dunk. Get on it. I want to be a part of it. How's this going to come together? Let's do it.
Push. This sounded so exciting to me right out of the barn door.
All right. So that was Friday night. And then Saturday, I didn't get to mention any of this really yesterday, but we had, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 that gathered in the food court. Thank you, God, for our setup here at Lincoln Square. Because that food court, we had like 20-something tables, and we filled all the tables and the chairs, and the mall's always great. You need tables, so we brought out three of those 8 or 10 foot tables. I forget how long they are, but we filled them up with food, and we had Jean Rene, who was on the Monday and Tuesday edition last week. He was going around with his marimba playing and, you know, singing, and all the internationals really love that. He's from Congo. And then I should say Kurt, about 2 hours early, he came and started grilling all these chickens. I guess they were chicken breasts.
Yeah.
Holly had gone to Sam's Club, purchased a bunch of them, marinated them somewhere like soy sauce.
You're telling me how wonderfully she got those all cut up.
Well, the scissors.
I know.
My mom had never seen that before. I had never seen it till Holly.
And well, I use that all the time. I think Holly's a smart girl.
Well, my mom had, and some other women were like, you use scissors. Now, I had never known this till Holly started doing it. And maybe for 99% of the women, they're like, oh, yeah, we use scissors all the time.
Yeah.
I think they're more like industrial kind of scissors, a little thicker, but they were just chopping through the chicken and cutting up other things. And then somebody was using them on one of the desserts, and I'm thinking, you know, instead of having like a sharp knife or whatever, those knives with the
Serrated
knife.
If you just tuned in, this is the Mark and Marianne cooking show.
Yeah, that's right. And Marianne is teaching me the terminology, how to do it.
Iron Chef or something.
So anyways, we cooked up tons of chicken breasts, cut them all up, and we had those out in big pans. In fact, I think there would still be some lunch left for us today.
Yeah. We had some leftovers yesterday.
Yeah, I know. That
Bob Dickey was in here.
A little pizza. Yeah, Bob Dickey. We're getting him
enlisted.
That's
what we do. We just gather leftovers from all these
That's right.
invite white people in.
Oh, and the window displays got transitioned in here yesterday. So we have two new members, and we have our new Lincoln Square Time now in the food court and then going to all the tenants here. But Doug's Compounding Pharmacy.
In Paxton.
Yeah, Lori Epps came in yesterday and got things set up. And then Giordano's was in here, Pete and my wife, they were setting up. So if you come by the Great News Radio Center, you'll see our two bay windows with new featured businesses that we're thanking God for and the various ways they've been supportive of the station and of so many other ministries
and
or
just,
outreaches.
Yeah, in the community, too.
Yeah, so we got a little radio spot. You might be hearing Lori Epps' voice in the coming days as we celebrate with Doug's Compounding Pharmacy. And Doug and Julie have been supporters and involved in a lot of our various radio events over the years. So we appreciate those two in Paxton. And I guess it's the only pharmacy where they do the compounding and specialties in the whole state. I mean, they're very unique. So if you come by, we have some brochures and other information about them in the bay window. And they're still continuing to work and add some things to it, but appreciate them. And then Giordano's, as we mentioned already, on Friday, they supplied all those pizzas and salads and the cutlery and stuff. So great companies that we appreciate how God uses them, especially on behalf of this radio ministry, which touches so many different lives. And yeah, I mentioned Bob Dickey was in here yesterday singing with the Singing Men of GNN, had a rehearsal last night. And so I would say to any of you men that are interested in maybe joining us in the days ahead, this coming Monday, we'll be meeting 7 to 9 p.m. at the Great News Radio Center as we prepare for some upcoming concerts, especially our presentation at the Pacific Garden Mission. And that'll be happening on Saturday, August 26th. So we'll be taking a busload, maybe two busloads. A number of people are signing up online. So I got to figure out how many Singing Men are going to take seats on the bus and how many of our listeners can join us. And maybe if we get enough listeners involved, we'll have two buses going up. So that'll be a lot of fun on that Saturday in August. So let's see. We covered that. Giordano's, Bob Dickey in here.
Come Kate join
Freeman.
The Singing Men.
Come join the Singing Men. And come join us now as we sit and listen to a reading from Mary Ann Offenstein on her book, Memories of an African Son.
You may as well get used to this theatrical voice.
You got it. You got it, boss.
I kind of like that part.
Yeah, the boss part. Yeah, we all like the boss part.
He keeps saying it to me. I'm like, hey, I might do that.
Okay. So what have you picked out today?
Well, I was in Barnes & Noble the other day. And I was walking by, and I saw this book, and it made me laugh so hard because the title was How to Beat Your Dad at Chess. I looked at that, and I thought, wow, that brings back memories. So
did you play a lot of chess before?
Yeah, so I'm going to read that one.
Before we start, because it looks like we have 9 minutes left.
Okay.
This Thursday, we're launching into our English conversation classes, and it looks like we have a variety of teachers and a number of students, even some new students.
Plenty of students.
In fact, and I'd ask our listeners to be praying up, you know, as God leads our teachers, facilitators, helpers to impact and influence these internationals for kingdom purposes, to know God. But our primary purpose is introducing them to the English language and idioms and frequently said things or phrases or phraseology, I don't know, whatever it is, in the American culture.
Right.
But I know the family members that lost that Asian student, that she got kidnapped and they still haven't found her yet. I think they're going to join in the beginner's class.
You told me
so
that.
We're just praying up how God would use the different people and the love from those that volunteer and help and assist, and however God would work through us, that fragrance of Christ would be evident to all. We'd pray that up. And with it being 2 hours now from 10 to 12, you know how I make announcements to you, like over the air?
Yeah,
and
my
like,
eyes are big. I'm listening. Yeah, keep going.
Well, I'm just trying to think. For you to do 2 hours straight of reading might be a little much. And so I'm trying to figure out whether the first hour you do reading, the second hour you would do the intermediate lesson along with the rest of us with the words and the terminology and the sharing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I don't want to give you another project unless you would take some of the words out of your book and then you would feature some of those words and talk about it.
We start Thursday, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I'm announcing it to you now, you know, you and all of our listeners.
Right.
So we can talk more off the air.
This little voice in the background going, help.
So, 2 hours. I was just thinking, wow, that's a long time for you to just be sitting there reading. So maybe it can be broken in half.
Okay.
Or you can think about that.
Three whole days.
Yeah, actually two.
I got two whole days.
Yeah, so. All right. So you saw this book in a bookstore about how to beat your dad in chess. And did you have a chapter? Did you play a lot of chess when you were in Africa?
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes.
So what's the title of this section?
Chess.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So it's chapter 43.
Okay.
I learned to play chess under a hot African sun in Ghana. It was one of the few board games that we had in the house, and my father spent hours teaching me. We would carry out the small, square, beaten-up wooden table with the sturdy legs, along with two wooden chairs, and position them in the yard, as near the tree as possible, so we at least had some shade from the glaring sun, and we would play our game of chess. My father, who had meticulously taught me the names of the southern sky constellations on dark, starry nights in Zimbabwe, and who thought that the Koine Greek language was a useful thing to teach a 10-year-old, now set about teaching me by the hour how to play chess. A highly busy man, gone for hours to do mission work, he made sure to take some time out in the late afternoon to teach me something. For many months, that something was chess. My father, who had grown up in unusual and hard circumstances, seemed to pay scant attention to the theory that one is only capable of learning certain things at certain ages. Mm-hmm. He could somehow teach anything in an age-appropriate way. It was a gift that he had. He simply taught whatever was in front of him to teach, at whatever age I happened to be at the moment. We often read large chunks of the encyclopedia together, and he made it seem enthralling. We had an old phonograph, and he had some records of various operas, so we enjoyed those, too. Today's views that kindergarten children can learn three languages at once would have made perfect sense to him. For weeks, my father sort of played both sides of our chessboard, playing his own while giving me his best suggestions and thoughts on how to play my side. Sometimes he let me make the move without any aid. At other times, we plotted together what my best moves would be. He was as delighted when my side won as he was his own. And I can still hear that characteristic laugh and joy at my win. But then the day came, one hot afternoon, under the tree, when he looked across the little wooden table with a glint in his eye and said, "I'm not going to just let you win anymore." The initial training was over. We would now play for real. I always felt that I somehow grew up that afternoon. Not that there wasn't a lot of growing up left to do, but I cannot forget the strange feeling that overcame me. I had to fight for my side of the board now. It was mine to win or lose. What happened next was that I lost countless games in a row. All the games, in fact, for the next months. But my spirit wasn't broken. The teaching now came after the game, going back over what I could have done, finding better thought-out strategies. But then the day came when I won my first game of chess. Even now, I wonder if my father was not distracted with work that day. But whether he was or not, I won, fair and square, and he hadn't let me. His excitement at my win was as great as my own. I wonder if sometimes God doesn't teach us the way my father taught me, intense, one-on-one at the beginning, and then having us stand on our own a bit, at least not rehashing over and over only what we have already learned. Maybe we're expected to kind of hold on to those initial steps ourselves. We're never on our own with God. We can't do any of His work or follow His will without His power running through us, without the Holy Spirit's power charging our efforts. He made the air we're breathing. But perhaps, sometimes, we don't acknowledge the fact that we're expected to hold firm on the things we've already learned, to sort of stand on them with some of our own strength, while he pushes us on to learn other, different things. I went on to win a few more chess games with my father, though not many.
My father was a very good chess player. I was never one of the best. I've been beaten at chess many times, but what mattered is that I learned, and I could play remarkably well for my age. The one thing I have not forgotten about chess is that it's necessary to think ahead, to plan, and consider options. It was ingrained in me. All those afternoons in the sun as we played, brushing sweat from our foreheads and drinking our glasses of water, and while I may still need to learn a lot more about the importance of forethought, in fact, I know that I do, I have not lost the basic principle. And maybe that, too, is what God does when he teaches us. He wants it ingrained. Not so much the details of every situation we go through, but the principles, the concepts, what we learned, and what we can take from those situations. Perhaps something along those lines is what the writer of Hebrews was thinking when he wrote with some frustration to his readers, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Hebrews 5:12-14. I know I need to keep holding on to what I've learned and also keep growing. May God help us all to grow up a little more each day. Father, help me to stand firm on what I've already learned about your word, about your ways, and about you. I don't want all you've taught me in my life to be in vain. I don't want you to have to keep reteaching me what you and I have already gone through. I want to hold on to it. I want to build from that base. I want to go forward. I want to incorporate your teachings and move ahead to more understanding. Let me not be as one who looks in the mirror and goes away, forgetting what he saw, but as one who is a doer, not just a hearer.
You know, you are excellent. Every time you read another devotional, I just kind of marvel. I sit back here thinking, she is so gifted. And then I'm thinking now, thank you, God, for your dad that took you through making, I think you said, made the dictionary or encyclopedia exciting or interesting, or just that he invested the time, or that he held the bar high enough to say, hey, it's not you're just a little child. You're ready to learn and had a higher expectations. And, you know, I don't know if, I don't think he's still alive, right?
No, he's not.
But I'm sure he's very proud of what you've accomplished and what you're doing. And I think many of our listeners are like, you're right, Mark. She is an awesome writer. Every one of our listeners should have a copy of this book, Memories of an African Son, available here at the Great News Radio Center. Come by typically any time between 10 and 5 p.m. We have copies right up in the front. And
we'll have leftover chicken and pizza, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a bite of chicken with your purchase of two copies.
By then it'll be some... Oh, good.
Yeah, that's right. So, all right, you got it. You got it, boss.
Oh, I knew that. I knew. We're going to hear it all the time.
Yeah, that's my new line. Got to memorize it, you know. I got to make sure I got it right.
Yeah,
you got it. You got it, boss.
All of us here have it memorized.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, you know where the Great News Radio Center is. It's right here at Lincoln Square across from the food court, and we'd love you to stop by, pick up a tote bag, a yard sign, a copy of Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, also known as Marianne Offenstein, our very own project coordinator, assistant, helper. I won't say executive secretary because you're better than that, but you have had that role in the past, right?
Yeah, I have.
Various roles that she plays here.
Like they call it assistant. There's something else now. I can't remember.
All-purpose assistant, ever ready to help. Well, anyways, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Offenstein with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
God bless.